You're listening to the Paranormal Peeps on the Darkcast Network. Come to the dark side of indie podcasts with the Darkcast Network.
We have cookies. Between the realm of the dead and the journeys of the living, join Josh, Jamie, and Elisa as they delve into the vast world of the paranormal and breathe life back into the history of the departed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Paranormal Peeps podcast.
Yes, welcome back and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is a special Thanksgiving episode.
Well, it's not. It's an episode-let. Like, it's just like a little snippet.
Yes.
Just a little piece.
Just a little amuse-bouche for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So we are going to tell a Thanksgiving ghost story.
Ooh, I don't know that I've ever heard a Thanksgiving ghost story.
I don't know that I ever
heard either. Like, you hear the Christmas ones. Of course you hear Halloween, and then you hear everything in between. But a Thanksgiving ghost story?
A Thanksgiving ghost
story. Yeah, I don't recall ever hearing one. So I'm excited to hear this.
The Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego is one of the most beautiful hotels in the world, and some say the most haunted. The ghost story that has long been attached to the hotel is unique in that it is one of the only Thanksgiving ghost stories that is told. It involves a young woman named Kate Morgan who checked into the hotel on Thanksgiving Day, 1892, and never checked out. When the Hotel Del Coronado opened in 1888, it was the largest resort hotel in the world. In the middle 1880s, the San Diego area was in the middle of a real estate boom. To draw people to the area, several wealthy businessmen went together and built the Hotel Del Coronado. The popularity of the hotel was established before the 1920s. It already had hosted presidents Harrison, McKinley, Taft, and Wilson. The hotel went on to host presidents Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon B. Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama.
Dang, that's quite a list.
It's a huge list. By the 1920s, Hollywood stars and starlets discovered the Dell was in the place to stay. Many celebrities made their way south to party during the era of Prohibition and used the Hotel Dell as their personal playground. Tom Mix, Rudolph Valentino, Charlie Chaplin, and Ramon Navarro were a few of the many actors who stayed in the hotel during weekend getaways. Other notables have included Marilyn Monroe, Thomas Edison, L. Frank Baum, Vincent Price, Babe Ruth, and many others. During World War II, the hotel was used to house Navy pilots and the families of officers. By the end of the war, the neglected hotel had started to age, and while millions were spent to refurbish it, a new owner in 1963 planned to tear it down. But he changed his mind and remodeled and expanded it instead. It remains today as one of the most beautiful resorts on the West Coast and one with several ghosts.
Okay, I want to go.
Right?
You just said haunted ghosts. I'm there.
Exactly. The hotel's hauntings include the ghost of a little boy and girl, a former hotel caretaker seen in the dining room, and a Victorian woman who has been seen dancing in the ballroom. But there are none as famous as the ghost of Kate Morgan. As mentioned, Kate checked into the hotel on Thanksgiving Day, 1892, and she has never left. Hotel guests and employees believe that the most of the paranormal events that occur in the hotel can be connected to Kate. Witnesses report flickering lights, televisions that turn off and on by themselves, dramatic shifts in room temperatures, odd scents, unexplained voices, the sound of strange footsteps, mysterious breezes which cause curtains to billow when windows are closed, and objects which move on their own accord, and some claim to have seen the ghost of Kate Morgan herself. Kate Morgan, a pretty woman in her mid-20s, checked into the Hotel Del Coronado alone on Thursday, November 24th, 1892, which was Thanksgiving evening. During her stay, hotel employees, many of whom had frequent interactions with Kate, reported that she had appeared ill and very unhappy. She had also told quite a few employees that she was waiting for her brother, who she said was a doctor, to join her. But he never showed up. 5 days after she checked in, Kate was found dead on an exterior staircase leading to the beach. She had a gunshot wound to her head, which the San Diego coroner later determined was self-inflicted. A search of her hotel room revealed no personal belongings. In fact, there was nothing to identify the beautiful stranger, except the name she used when she registered, Lottie A. Bernard from Detroit. After her death, police sent a sketch of Kate's face and information about her death to newspapers and police stations around the country, in hopes that someone could shed light on the dark, mysterious surroundings of the suicide of the unknown girl at the Coronado Hotel. Eventually, Lottie Bernard was identified as Kate Morgan, originally from Iowa, and the wife of Tom Morgan. Reportedly, Tom Morgan was a gambler who may have made his living gambling on the railroad. After the inquest into Kate's suicide, a gentleman came forward to say that he had seen Kate arguing with a man, thought to have been Tom, on a train en route to San Diego. The witness said that Tom disembarked before reaching San Diego, and Kate continued on to the Hotel Del Coronado by herself, where, it is assumed, she waited for Tom to join her. When he never showed up, Kate took her own life. Since that time, paranormal activity has been reported in the room Kate stayed in during her 1892 visit, room 3327, and in other areas of the hotel. She is the most enduring ghost of the Grand Hotel and continues to hold onto the place almost 125 years after her tragic death.
That's interesting. There's no mention, like, if the gunshot wound was self-inflicted, did they find the gun? There's no mention, like, was there? There would have had to have been a gun nearby. You don't just shoot yourself in the head and then go hide the gun and then drop later.
You mean you could? It's highly unlikely.
It's not really reality, is it?
No, it is not.
So there's no mention of the gun. There's no mention of, like, when they really figured out who this woman really was, Kate Morgan, did they question her husband?
I would assume.
But why is none of this, you know, included?
Probably because it doesn't have a lot of bearing on the actual haunting itself.
Well, sure. But you'd want to kind of know, like, did she really commit suicide? If so, where's the gun? Right?
Right.
And if not, if she was actually murdered, say by her husband, was he not questioned? Did they not investigate this? Or did they just say, oh, no weapon, bullet hole in the head. Yeah, she self-inflicted this. I mean, it's highly suspicious looking from a crime perspective.
Well, this is true. There is a woman who was stabbed, I think it was 125 times, mm-hmm. in the chest, the head, and the back of the neck. Mm-hmm. And the original coroner's report said self-inflicted.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was.
I mean, I'd love to hear the coroner's reasoning for coming to that conclusion.
Right?
Because I don't know. So I can't really say, you know.
But most people don't stab themselves in the back.
Not that many times. Come on. Oh, man. Well, that's interesting. So there's no more to the story. Like, does she appear on Thanksgiving every year? Or
I think she appears all the time in the hotel, mm-hmm. and in that room.
I was just wondering if there was, like, an upswing around Thanksgiving in her sightings and
it's possible, right? You would think that maybe on the anniversary of her death that.
But she didn't die on Thanksgiving. Well, remember, she checked in on Thanksgiving evening.
Well, they found her body 5 days later.
Yes. But I'm saying for the time that she checked in, is there like an upswing, like from Thanksgiving and, you know, a few days later leading up to her, you know, suicide in quotes here.
Yes.
Or murder, whatever. Is there an upswing in activity?
I don't know.
I mean, I'd love to know if anybody knows anything and has. I've never heard of this.
But I've never heard of the hotel.
I've heard of the hotel. I never heard anything about a Kate Morgan there. Wow. But see, we're not from the area either.
Right.
So I'm sure that people that have been there once or more or live in the area, maybe they've heard all these. And they have more information.
Well, maybe what we need to do is check into room 3327 for a week during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to find out.
We'll add it to our lengthy list of places to go.
It just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, there's just not enough time.
No, no.
And that's, or money.
Or money. But that's the beautiful thing about the paranormal is that there are so many different places out there, historically based and, you know, tragedy based that you can find to investigate. And the list just keeps growing. It doesn't keep getting smaller. It just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, it definitely does. Absolutely. I don't think you have to go far to find a place that's, you know, haunted.
No.
You know, and the thing is, for me, I love going and learning about the place, the building itself, the people that were there from the past or, you know, whatever. I want to hear their story.
Right.
I mean, that's, for me, that's my main drive is I want to find out more.
Yeah.
I want to find out more. What was your life like? Who were you?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
So.
And that's the neat thing is like when you can confirm or try to connect with some of these spirits, you can try to find out as much as you can, as much as they're willing to tell you.
Well, right. You know, and it just depends, you know, on their energy and what they're able to provide or want to provide.
Exactly.
It's all variant.
Yeah.
From location to location.
So this is coming out, well, on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Which obviously is a time that we all give thanks for, you know, our blessings in life and in those pieces. So what are you thankful for? Either for the podcast or for, you know, the paranormal group or beyond.
Well, I mean, how do you pick any one thing?
It's really hard.
I mean, you've heard it probably a million times. Of course, I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm thankful for the roof over our head, the food on our table, right?
Yeah.
All those things. So there's so many. I'm thankful for my faith.
Yeah.
I would say I'd put that at number one above everything else. So, yeah. What about you?
Well, I'd say I have to agree with all of those.
Yeah.
But, you know, also I'm thankful for our loyal listeners. I love the fact that you guys come back and listen to us every episode.
Yes. And we love, you know, like we don't hold public events a lot, you know, pretty much once a year, sometimes twice.
Yep.
But I'm also very thankful for those that come and participate and that we get to chat with and hear about their interest in the paranormal and why they have it. And I love that.
Yeah. And we have ran into some listeners out in the wild.
Yeah. Just like running errands and stuff. We have ran into listeners, which is amazing. Like it's something I never thought would happen.
Right.
You know, just being out and about and they're like, hey, so which two are you? You know, because yeah. I was wearing one of our shirts. And so that was pretty cool. So we got to meet another person and who was part of another paranormal team, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I really love our other paranormal teams that are out there in this community in Utah. There's so many great ones out there.
There are. And we have met, no, via, it's remote, right? Mm-hmm. But we have met some other great teams around the world too. And one of these days we'll get out and meet them in person and investigate with them.
Yeah. Yeah. We are definitely making plans to do those things.
Definitely.
In the future. So, and speaking of Thanksgiving, what are some of your Thanksgiving traditions?
Well, let's see. You know, growing up, I would say this, growing up, we always went to my grandparents' place on my mom's side. We'd go to Bismarck, North Dakota, or Mandan, depending on if we're staying with my uncles or not. And we would all get together. we would have a huge Thanksgiving feast. There was like 15, 20 of us. And we would eat and play cards and play games. And then it's never fail because I have a lot of musicians in the family. And so all of a sudden there would be guitars broken out, harmonicas out, and playing songs and just singing and having a good time.
See, that sounds amazing.
Doesn't it?
Like as you're saying it, you can just get this mental picture of it all.
Yeah.
So very, very cozy feeling, you know?
Yeah, very cozy.
I remember growing up when we lived in Alaska, I remember it was, you know, yeah, it was the traditional big feast, right?
Yeah.
It was always football on the TV. It'd start the morning out as like, you know, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
Of course. And so we'd watch that. And then football would go on. I remember always just hearing football in the background. And my brother and I would just play. And there were other times on Thanksgiving where we go up to a, you know, friend of the family's place and have Thanksgiving with them. So, and then when we moved down to Washington State, Thanksgiving was held at my grandparents' place, which was always great.
Yeah, I've had a couple Thanksgivings there.
Yeah, you have. And if there was snow on the ground, it was sledding down the barn hill.
And through the fence.
And yeah, going so fast that you go up the snow embankment and through the fence of the lower pasture. It was fun.
Or bouncing off of it.
Yeah.
Although that was a Christmas time.
Yeah, but you bounced off it and I think Stacy went through it.
He did.
He finished the job.
He did.
So, yeah. And then, but today with Josh and I and our son, our Thanksgiving tradition is a nice meal, of course, always. Not always traditionally turkey. So, I mean, sometimes we do
ham.
There's been another time where we did like a roulade.
Yeah.
So we do different things. This year we're doing turkey, of course. But another tradition of ours is we watch a Thanksgiving movie, which is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So it's a movie from the 80s starring John Candy and Steve Martin. So if you've never seen it, check it out. You can stream it on multiple platforms. It's really cool. It's hilarious. But yeah, we watch that. And then we always watch Christmas Vacation after it.
Yep. We watch that one. And then we watch Home Alone.
Yeah. Well, we also watch A Christmas Story. So
yes.
Yeah. But we always start with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because that is like a Thanksgiving movie because it's about Steve Martin and he's trying to make it home to his family in time for Thanksgiving. And everything that you can imagine goes wrong. And it's just, it is so hilarious. It's really worth checking out.
It is. It's a great 80s movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So
everybody, we just want to say again, thank you so much. We hope you have a wonderful holiday with your friends and family. And as always, stay ghosty, my peeps. Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal _Research.